Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today is Epiphany, the beginning of the church season where we celebrate the Lord manifesting himself to the world. Epiphany comes from the word to shine, and the picture is that of a light shining into the darkness and then overtaking it. In the past weeks, we've been talking and singing about light, about Jesus, the light of the world. In Bethlehem's dark streets shineth the everlasting light, or hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, light and life to all he brings. Or Son of God, love's pure light beams from your holy face, Lord Jesus, at your birth. Today's Old Testament lesson proclaims, arise, shine, for your light has come. The Lord has appeared, and the whole world should see the light of his coming. It's Epiphany. Epiphany is a mission festival. The light is moving out. We hear about the wise men from Babylon in the east, the first Gentiles to worship the king of the Jews. The light came for the Jews and Gentiles to dispel the darkness that covers the earth and all its people. And therefore, the light that we enjoy here, the light that warms us in this place, the light that is Jesus, has got to get out. We don't often notice it, but this building has walls. Walls that divide us inside from those who are outside. The walls, thankfully, often also have doors behind you and off to the sides. The walls aren't there as a barrier. Anyone can come through those doors. In fact, we welcome them to come in. The walls simply hold up the roof and keep the rain or the snow off us, and that's about all. But you know, from the outside, the walls can be a very real barrier. People looking at our church wonder if they can come in. Are they welcome? Will they fit in? What if they come inside and find that they're still outsiders? We on the inside have to realize that the walls can be barriers between us and those outside, even if those outside only think that they're barriers. See, that's why Paul wrote the message to the Ephesians. That is our epistle for today. He tells them about the mystery that was once known only to God, but has now been revealed to the apostles and prophets, and through them is revealed even to us. The mystery is that the Gentiles, the outsiders of Paul's day, are heirs together with the Jews of Christ's inheritance. Outsiders and insiders are one body with Christ, are partakers together of his promises. There's no division. The doors are open. Jesus opens the doors, and no one can shut it. Now, for us to get a full impact of Paul's words, we need to remember that we are the outsiders in this text. For most of us are born Gentiles, not the inheritors of the family promise, not the descendants of Abraham, not part of the people of God set apart for his holy purposes. But thanks be to God, the plan God fulfilled in Jesus Christ gives us access to his presence, free and confident access to the throne room of God, and by faith in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. As far as God's eternal plan of salvation is concerned, that we Gentiles are on the inside, well, that's the surprise. It was once a mystery known only to God. It was Paul's great joy to unveil the mystery to us, the Gentiles. He writes, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." Also for us, Jesus was born, died, and rose again. Also for us, he gives citizenship in heaven and eternal inheritance with the Father forever. That was Paul's great message, the message God gave him to bring to all people like us, outsiders like us. Paul was not adding his little epiphany addition to the gospel that he was given. His work was rather a small reflection of the great epiphany, the glorious appearance and work of Jesus Christ. All of us were born children of Adam and Eve, tied to sin and rebellion against God and sentenced to die. But Jesus came as our peacemaker, willingly taking on himself the form of his rebellious creatures so that he could bring this rebellion to an end. Next week, when we celebrate his baptism, when he waded into the river of our sin and despite John the Baptist's objections, received a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, he had no sins. He needed no repentance, but he stood with us who do. In weeks to come, we'll hear more about how he lived and taught and touched and healed the people. He let his light shine, but he also let that light be covered with the darkness of sin and cross and death. Yet even on the cross, his light was shining. He did not die for his crimes. He died for the crimes of others, for outsiders. He died for people who would have ended up in hell to be punished eternally for their sins. When he cried out, "It is finished," our death and our punishment were finished. The Son of God provided new life and love for us. And that is light shining out. That is the light that we need in our lives. That is the light that we need to shine. Compared to the barrier between the sinless Son of God and his sin-polluted creatures, the barriers between Jew and Gentile pale. The barrier between us and outsiders, the unchurched neighbor, is no barrier at all. For we are, both of us, sinners who are in need of a Savior. And the good news is that we have one. Jesus has appeared. Jesus is here. Let there be light. Let there be light, first of all, in our lives, where there is still too much darkness. We try to hide too many shadowy corners from the light. We still try to keep God at a distance. Paul said it in the letter to the Ephesians, "For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. That's why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' So let's wake up. Even in the dead and the dark recesses of our life, and see the light. Let there be light here in this church, where we gather around the word and the sacraments and the gifts of our Lord Jesus Christ, our light. We need to guard ourselves so that our own habits, activities, attitudes, and expectations don't block the light. We're here because Christ Jesus is the light of the world, the light that no darkness can overcome. And if we obscure that light, how can people who don't be in that light find it here? Most of all, this Epiphany season, let's dedicate ourselves to the task that was Paul's joy and make it our own. That light shines into the lives of the people who need to see it. Jesus Christ, also for you. We are not simply messengers. We are children of the light whose only message is, "Let me show you the light of the world, who is also for you." Well, if we're not the best witnesses, then so be it. But as we talk with people, we can simply tell them what promises we rely on, what God has accomplished for us, and why we boldly and confidently believe that we have access to God. When we talk about those things, we offer light to others. We offer Christ, the light of the world. Think about it. Everyone that we know or meat, is a fellow heir with us in Christ's inheritance, a fellow member with us in the body of Christ, and potentially a fellow recipient of his promises, just like us. Everyone has the invitation to bring joy to the courtyards of heaven by turning from the slavery of sin to the freedom from sin given by our Savior, just like us. Everywhere that we go, we can bring his light. Arise, shine. Your light has come, and he shines forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.